Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Yo, yo, I'm going to give you what you want this morning. How about it? It's already been requested. Let's go. Ready? One, two, three. Yeah! Ooh, man, it's been a minute. I think anytime you go into San Francisco and sweep Sleepy Bob, more like Sweepy Bob, and the Giants, you have to take that chance. You got to let it rip. Monday morning, right out of the gate. Good morning, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. So great to be here with you all, listening, watching. Certainly great to be here with my compatriots. We got Paul Reindl, the executive producer of the show. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
We will talk about your birthday weekend here in a moment. We've got Benny the Four Iron Higgins is back. 120 holes of golf under his belt. That is a
3.5 days.
Do the math. Crippling addiction. That's too much. It's too much golf.
That's more than two rounds a day.
Oh yeah, yeah. We squeezed in a little more than 36 on one of the
Jesus,
days. Yeah,
dude.
I'll go ahead and say it.
It's too much.
That's too much.
It's golf. Too much.
That's
golf.
Too much of anything.
Am I feeling the after effects? Yes.
What hurts the most?
Feet, shoulders, lower back.
Right. Calves.
Yeah, it's just kind of
hammies.
Descending all the way through.
How are your hands?
But hands are fine.
Your hands don't get... No, he flushes. He flushes a lot of balls. So when you hit balls thin...
I did play mostly well. I had one horrific day, three pretty good days, and it was a good trip. But you went into... you actually literally went into San Francisco to sweep the Giants.
I did, man. What a trip. Oh, my God. What a trip. Such a great time. Very special trip. It was my wife's 35th birthday. And thank God that birthday week is over. Oh, my Lord.
It's birthday month, though. You still got two more weeks.
I told her this morning, it's anniversary week, because our anniversary is this coming weekend.
You figured it out?
I did. The 22nd. It's our 7th anniversary. And so I said, okay, I love you. I'm glad. It's over. She's in the chat. It's not over. It's over. It's a lot. It's a lot. And she can be, what's the best word that it's not going to get me killed?
Wonderful.
She can be wonderful. She is a wonderful, generous soul. She can also be around and on and near her birthday. A bit petulant, I think, is maybe the right word. And when she gets it in her head that she wants to do something, it's going to be done. Everything else be damned. Our kids are like, Mama, I'm tired. I'm hungry. Shut your mouths. Load up the car. We're driving across the Golden Gate Bridge. I don't give an F about your feelings, your feet, or your tired bodies. We're driving across the Golden Gate Bridge. So, we had a great time. Just a magical, magical evening. And it started when we got to Oracle Park, Benny, on Friday. Now, here's a couple of weird things that happened to us when we were down at Oracle. All right. Friday game. 7:15 start time.
Which...
subhuman.
What are they doing?
It's subhuman.
Yeah,
your subhuman is right. What are we running, a prison here? So 7:15 start time. Fellas, what time would you think the gates to the ballpark would be open for a 7:15 first pitch?
5:15.
5 o'clock.
100%. We're in line it's 6 o'clock and the doors still aren't open, and I am like rocking back and forth because we've now walked all the way around. We've seen the whole park, all the area, and I just keep waiting to see guys being let in. And the first thing I thought of is, man, Padres would never. They want, well, listen, it's not a, you're not a rocket scientist. Get people in the door, get them eating, drinking, and spending money. What are you doing?
$19, garlic fries,
done,
go.
I'm in. I mean, give me a slice of pizza, but the whole thing. So we're walking around, and I'm like, surely this is a mistake. I'm texting Jesse Agler. Jesse, what in the hell is going on? He's like, you know the game starts at 7:15. I go, it's 6 o'clock. I'm in line. Oh, that's weird. So we finally get in, get to our seats. Then I texted him again. I go, Jesse, am I insane? Why are they just now chalking the field? And I mean, the lineups have been exchanged, and there are guys out there hammering stuff into the ground. They're chalking, and I'm like, we have a game to play. It felt very
adult-y.
How
expensive hourly employees are up in the Bay Area. Benny, we're not bringing them in at 4 o'clock.
I think Jesse thought I was like on bath salts or something because he's like, no, this happens at Petco. I'm like, I don't think so. Now listen, he would know more than me. Maybe I just never noticed it at Petco. So we get into Oracle. All right, so the recommendations that you guys all gave, I'll tell you what I tried. I did not eat the crab sandwich. I couldn't bring myself to eat the crab sandwich on buttered bread because I thought of it and I went, you will vomit that up later. As good as it is, it's very rich, but I could see myself in the hotel at 11 o'clock, like vomiting up ballpark crab. So I said, I'm going to pass on it. Somebody recommended Tony's Pizza. And I said, you know what? Perfect for the kids. So I got Tony's Pizza. Fantastic. Delicious. One of our girls, Elisa, said, you got to get, I think it was Elisa that recommended the hand-spun caramel corn. Bro, let me tell you. They give you a fork to eat it, okay? And you're like, what are they giving me a fork for?
Boy, no, they know what they're doing.
You sit down and you're like, oh, whoo. It's like, it's pretty sexual, actually. Like, it's that good. The kids mauled it. So we had that. But then we're standing down there. We're waiting for the game to start. And we're on the first base side. Hannah got brilliant seats, $75 a pop off SeatGeek or something. We are four rows up. Like,
helps that their team's about six games under 500 in September.
No,
so, yeah.
No question. Playing for literally nothing. So we see some of the fellas walk out. Wave to Ruby. He waves back. Ben Fritz. Joe Musgrove waved. And then Crony sees us, and he waves, and he gives me the head nod, and I'm like, bring it. So there's this huge slot in the net. It's like a big oval where he could have just walked up and placed the ball through the net. Here you go, Bo, and whatever. No, Crony from the line goes and throws it over the net. And so I'm backing up to catch it. It's two rows behind me. There is a portly gentleman, Giants fan, sitting there messing with his scorebook, leaned back in his chair. Ball hits him square in the gut, rolls down to me. I then pick it up. I'm like, Bo, look. And he's like, yeah. So that was pretty cool.
So you had a friend instantly.
The guy didn't even move, dude. He didn't say anything. He wasn't like, hey, man, I just wore that. Let me get that back. So we get the ball from Crony. It was amazing. The Lumpia. Everyone said get the Lumpia. I went with Bo to get Lumpia, and I was explaining to him what it was because I really had just learned exactly what it was on Friday. You missed that, Benny. I'd say the line was 40 to 50 deep, so it was pretty, pretty packed there. So we didn't go nuts on the ballpark food. But I'll tell you this, my first time at Oracle, have you been there?
I have once, yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful ballpark. And I'll say something else, man. The people there were fantastic. Lovely. 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 Kind. The ushers, every one of them. This was really weird. I think they were doing reverse psychology on us as we walked in. The kids are all swagged out in their Padres gear, and I got my Padres hat and my wife. And every one of them, hey, go Padres. I'm like, aren't you? My Bo's looking at me like, what are they doing? Is this some sort of psychological warfare?
See, now, that was not the reputation with the Candlestick fans back in the day.
Yeah,
they were not known as the friendliest of fans.
Well, we drove by the old location of Candlestick Park. I get it. I get why you wouldn't be nice at all.
I remember we drove by that, too. I went to San Francisco once. It was just like we just drove through. We went to a game, and then we were gone. I was going to a buddy's place out in Chico. We were less than a day in San Francisco. Happened to drive right past Candlestick. We were going to go try to find the Full House house. And you go right past old Candlestick. It's all still there. And you go, this place is a dump.
Yeah, it looked, I get it. It looked. I get it, too.
I mean they're like an hour away now at Levi Stadium. And we're like, no, I get it.
Levi.
Well, the 49ers.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it was hell. You're like, whoa. But Oracle, beautiful, man. And again, the kindest ushers and everything else. And the fans that were sitting around us were really cool, too. Like you said, they're not playing for much. And Padres came out in that first game and just laid the wood to them. Right out of the chute. It was crack, crack, crack. Like, it was awesome. It was an awesome, awesome weekend. Of course, we took the kids down to Alcatraz. We almost left Bo there
now
by design.
If you weren't following Woods this weekend, that was something. When I saw it on my feed while I was on my trip to see what happened to Woods at Alcatraz.
It was incredible. So this is the funny part. We're on the boat going over. And we're at the 10:30 boat. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, guys don't play till later. I said to Hannah on the boat, I go, I wonder if we'll run into some Padres over there. She goes, they're not going to be over here. I go, all right.
No. I would have said the same thing.
Yeah. And she goes, all right.
They're not going over to Alcatraz on a Saturday.
Son of a gun, if we don't get off the boat and walk smack dab into Dylan Cease and a couple of his buddies. And I'm like, yeah. And I gave him like the what's up. And he said, hello. And then I looked at Bo, and Bo's staring at him. I go, do you want to meet Dylan Cease? He goes, yeah. So I walked over. Dylan was in line waiting on the ferry back. And I said, hey, Dylan, sorry to bother you. My son loves you. He absolutely loves you. I also love you. But I said, would you grab a quick picture with him? He goes, no problem. You see the big smile on his face? He did not look put out at all. Was so nice. And then the other thing, man, I ran into 24 tier ones at the game. I ran into tier ones at Alcatraz. The most special one, and the hardcore tier ones will remember this.
Oh, this is really cool.
This blew my mind. So we go. Hannah wanted to go to.
Even I had to like kind of rack my memory a little bit.
Yeah. So Hannah wanted to go to Bodine's. You know, the same one that we can get here, delivered to our house, which she does a couple times a week. And I said, that's where you want to go for your birthday lunch. Yes. All right. Well, this is like the original. All right. Fine. So we go down to Bodine's. Didn't need to look at the menu because it's the same exact same menu you get here. Food tastes the exact same. So we go down to Bodine's. We're getting our food. And guy walks up, he goes, what's your
name? I pronounce it Boudin, but I don't know.
It's Bodine's. So
Boudin.
So I'm standing in line. A guy walks up and he says, Woodsy, I'm so sorry to bother you with your family. I'm tier one. Can't remember his name. This is my wife. We live in Boston. And it hit me. And I go, oh, my God, it's you guys. And he said, yeah. And he was the one. His fiance at the time DM'd us and said that he was back in San Diego taking care of his very ill mother. And she ended up passing away. And wanted to do a Valentine's Day shout out to him on the air.
Because he's back in San Diego. She knew he would be listening.
And we'd never met him before. Once it hit me, it registered with me, I go, get over here. I gave the guy a big old hug. And he goes, we listen to you guys from Boston every single day. I'm so sorry I forgot your names. We listen to you guys every single day. We love you. You guys keep us grounded to San Diego. I was like, man, in all the places that we could have run into each other, Bodine's in San Francisco, you know, while we're all grabbing lunch together. So that was really, really, really sweet. It was a very, very cool experience. And we did go across the Golden Gate Bridge yesterday and then across the Bay Bridge and all kinds of bridges. The bridge tour we did, but it was rad.
Did the kids like Alcatraz?
They loved it.
The prison, the sharks around.
The crazy thing was
the stories that they tell you on the tour. The Birdman, the escape attempts.
I thought Bo loved it. He did have a good time, but he was in a mood. He was in a Bo mood where he was just like, I think it's a bit where he just like, hey, everyone's having a good time. I'm gonna act like an a-hole. So he did that thing. And then I start to get like, hey, clean it up, you know? And my audio, my headphones don't work. I'm like, I put them up. I'm like, they work fine. I'm behind. I don't know which way's right, which way's left. He's just doing bits. And Taylor didn't make a peep, walked around wide-eyed with his headphones on, getting the whole audio tour. I think he was good because he thought we legit may leave him. Bo was like, they say they're going to leave me, but they're not leaving me. I'm their meal ticket, so there's no way they're going to actually leave me. I think he knew that. but they loved it. Going into the cells like it was so rad.
Talk about the inhumane conditions, how cold it was, the dangerous escape attempts, the baseball that starts at 7:15. It was just subhuman.
It was bananas, dude, and it was freezing out there. That's the other thing. We walked down to the rec yard, and the wind was like.
This is summer.
Bo's hair's blowing. He's like, I hate this. He almost blew over. We saw one kid at the top of the stairs. The wind hit. He was like, he almost fell down the stairs. So, dude, it was rad. I think we got our Christmas card picture done. We're up against the prison wall, and it literally looks like Hannah and I are holding two prisoners there. They're both, like, fighting us to get away. Man, it was great. San Francisco, for all the nonsense I've heard about it in the last year or so, give me a break. It was spectacular. Did not step over one pile of human doo-doo. Okay, I was very disappointed. I kept looking for the human poop to step over. Never found it. It was clean. It was amazing. The people were friendly. Now, we didn't go to the Tenderloin District. You know what I mean? Like, you want to avoid some bad. There's areas in every city. You're like, don't go down there. All right, we won't. And other than that, it was fine. Look at these kids in this picture if you're watching on the YouTube feed. Literal convicts, both of them. So it was great, man. We had a great time. So beautiful. Really friendly people. Just a good time all around.
Well, I had a great weekend. We'll hear more about Pauly's birthday. We should start our process, though, because we have a lot to talk about. A huge weekend for your San Diego Padres. We'll set the menu for the show coming up today. Obviously, three wins is all you can ask for this time of year. Getting a little closer. Woodsy said I might need some Ben math at some point.
I thought about it today. I went, man, there's a lot to unpack. I'm really glad you're here because there's some serious mathing going on.
I've been doing the math in my head. I'm ready to go with all your playoff possibility questions. We'll get to all of it coming up after a check of traffic with Kelly Danik. Good to be back. Good to have you here, Tier 1s, on a Monday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Don't worry, we are not going to ignore the elephant in the room either, or the torso in the car, as it were. That will be brought up. So just relax, everybody. We'll get there today. If you don't know what we're talking about, you're going to want to just stay right here on Ben and Woods.
Do you have a plan to address that?
Basically just going to interview you again about the whole thing.
That's the elephant in the room. How about the roach in the room?
And the roach in the room, very successful. Paulie and I had another long talk with the roach. And boy, he did us some good this weekend, didn't
he? Good work, Roachy.
He is on fire, sweet angel. I had one in my wallet. I kissed it before every game over the weekend. Still there. Still in my wallet. Roaches everywhere.
So what are your quick playoff questions before my math starts to fade in my brain? Because I had to do a lot of work on the Padres this week to try to figure out where they stand.
Who are we most? It's weird. I'm watching the game last night, the Braves and Dodgers. Good game. I mean, until it wasn't. Really, really good game. And Braves get a couple guys on in the eighth inning and against Kopech. And I'm like, oh, man, is Kopech finally going to start to crack? No. It just came back. Got a lazy fly ball, two nasty Ks, strands runners at second and third, nobody out. for the Atlanta Braves, and were not able to scratch a run across. And Dodgers went in and just exploded for 7-8 runs or something.
At that point, I was cheering for the Braves. I wasn't sure going into the series, but by the time the weekend was over,
it's weird how it switches.
I was now a big Braves fan, and it switched around, and I wanted the Dodgers to lose.
Yeah, just the Dodgers keep losing games. Never, you know, next thing you know, you're right there. I think they started yesterday 3.5 games behind the Dodgers. So you know, the Dodgers lost the first two games of that series, and you're like, all right, let's roll. Wouldn't you rather see try to win the division?
It was like a month ago that we were like, oh wow, the division's really in reach. Then we cooled off.
They cooled
Dodgers
off.
Started to get right, and you're like, all right, that dream's kind of gone. And then yeah, you look at the standings over the weekend, you go, huh, 3.5 games. Okay. I mean, you get that number down to 2.5? No, yeah. You have 3 against them?
That's the thing.
Next week, all of a sudden.
And you have the tiebreaker.
It's a little interesting.
You have the tiebreaker. So if they finish with the exact same record, it's us.
Yeah.
It's us. So, you know, listen, Padres have a tough road to hoe ahead. Certainly the last 12 games. But it's certainly within reach. It's certainly a possibility and a lot closer. Now, again, they're going to play another game today, Benny. I think they have a wraparound. Yeah. So they'll play one more today. Yeah, man. I mean, if they split, whatever. But
yeah, at this point, I think you're cheering for the Braves all out to beat the Dodgers and see if the Padres can get within that 3-game window with the 3 to play against the Dodgers next week to in their second to last series of the season.
And as far as the math goes, you know, where do we stand? How confident are we?
So
I'd say a lot more confident than we were on Friday.
Yes,
right?
It's a bit complex. The Padres are 85-65, 20 games above .500. For the first time since 2010, they've got a 1.5-game lead over the Diamondbacks, 3.5 over both the Mets and the Braves, who are tied for the third wild card spot. Now, remember, they have the tiebreaker over the Braves. They do not have it over the Mets. Technically, the Padres' magic number to clinch a playoff spot over the Braves, because they have the tiebreaker, is 9. Any combination of 9 wins and Braves losses would clinch the playoffs. However, you have to go a little next level here, because the Mets and Braves play each other 3 times. And because they are at the same spot in the standings at 81-68, follow my math here, if the Padres won 8 of their remaining games to get to 93, they're 85.
Seven.
So eight games, eight and four.
Yeah.
There's no way both the Mets and Braves can get to 93 wins. They both have 13 remaining, but because 3 are against each other, both of them can't win 12 games. One of them will have to lose at least 2 of those 3, if not all 3, which means technically the Padres only need 8 more wins to clinch a playoff spot, making their magic number 8 to clinch a playoff spot at the moment.
So we thought it was 9, it's not.
It's actually 8.
It's actually 8.
According to my math, now I haven't seen Major League Baseball release any official numbers on that yet, but that's the math that I did today that indicates if the Padres could get to 93 on their own, or if the Mets and Braves lose games,
sure,
including tonight, that number will continue to decrease over the last 2 weeks of the season. And an 8-game magic number with 2 weeks left is a pretty good spot to be in.
Yep. PlayoffStatus.com, the top result on Googling MLB magic numbers, also says 8.
Okay, look
to
at
clinch,
you.
To clinch the 6th seed just to get in,
yeah,
8.
Pauly, what's the radio equivalent of a Fields medal that we can give to Mr. Math? Oh, the Fields medal.
You know what? I'm going to give you, actually, right now. I'm
you want
give
it?
10.
You can have it. I don't need it. Take it.
Yeah, I mean, for the Fields medal.
For that amazing segment there, Benny, I'm going to award you 10 Odyssey.
Thank
you.
Oh, my God. It's better than a Fields medal, okay?
Put that to some socks, maybe.
It's not about you, you mathematical D. The joke just doesn't hit the same when you can't say the word. Mathematical D. That's our Benny, man. That's our Benny. That's great.
Here's what we've got coming up on the program today. Obviously, our Padres wrap-up will kick things off. Talk about a dramatic, exciting 4-3 win yesterday over the Giants, the closest game of the series. Certainly the most interesting game, I would say, of the 3 in San Francisco. And that'll kind of lead into discuss DeSuarez and his role at the closer. It's definitely not been the same as it was in the first half of the season. He's not been the lockdown guy in the 9th inning, has given up runs. He's blown some saves here in the second half. We'll talk about whether we think there is a need to shuffle things at the back end of the Padres rotation. I don't think Mike Schilt has any indication that he wants to do that.
And I do wonder, you know, let's talk too about the consequences of that. And I've got a I got an interesting theory about the San Diego Padres and the way they've handled business so far this season. And we can do that at 7 o'clock. It's going to be good.
That'll lead us into a take on Woods and Don't Do This in our 7 o'clock hour. We'll talk about the two shutout wins over the Giants in games one and two of the series a little bit later on in that hour. Second half of the program, Sam Levitt will join us on Monday in season Sammy as he wraps up his weekend covering the Padres on the pre and post game show. Rondle report from the birthday boy. How old are you now?
34.
34 years old. Congratulations, Pauly. Had a birthday weekend, and will bring us a Rondle report at 9 o'clock, and then get you ready for the Padres and Astros get underway tonight. Padres have three tough series left, and then the White Sox at the end of this week.
Just call it four.
Fine, just call
they
it
have
four.
Four tough series remaining.
You might have been out Thursday or Friday last week. We were saying, Wood said it like three times in a row. We got a huge series this weekend against San Francisco, and I said, you know what? They're all huge from here on out.
Yeah, that's fair.
You don't even have to qualify it anymore. Every series is critical.
Every game is edge of your seat, man.
This one, though, potentially, World Series preview. Why not? I mean, it's just as likely maybe as any other matchup now in October at the end of the year. Padres and Astros have both played maybe the two best teams in the second half of the season in their respective leagues. It's not crazy to say that there are people out there on a national level who are thinking this could be a World Series preview. So, big games. Every game is big. The last 12 of the season. We'll talk about all of it coming up. I'll also have some giveaways. We'll tell you about those a little bit later in the program. But let's take a break. Get to Jesse's highlights of yesterday's dramatic extra inning. Padres 4-3 win over the Giants and our Padres wrap-up. Coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Before we jump into our Padres wrap-up highlights, I think it needs to be pointed out that A.J. Preller has had his misses at the trade deadline in the past. But this trade deadline, my goodness.
Gracious.
Hit, 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 hit. Remember, here are the players the Padres acquired at the trade deadline. Tanner Scott and Brian Hoeing from the Marlins. Jason Adam from the Rays. Martin Perez from the Pittsburgh Pirates. And you know who else they acquired? I didn't even think about it. Brandon Lockridge.
Yeah.
And getting rid of Aniel De Los Santos.
Correct.
At the same time.
Addition by subtraction. Yes.
That's not even factoring in Luis Rise, Dylan Cease.
Yes.
As well.
Long before the trade deadline. But the acquisitions, so that's what, seven acquisitions since the week before the season started that have remade a full 25% right now of the Padres' 26-man roster on this team, and every single one of them, right down to Brandon Lockridge now, is contributing in one way or another toward a playoff push by the San Diego Padres. So this has been by far, and you know, the final story hasn't been written yet, but at this point, by far, AJ's best trade deadline. Now, will some of the players that he traded away, Robbie Snelling, Adam Mazur, Dylan Lesko, Homer Bush Jr., will they turn into stars, great players in the future? That question for many, many years. But
I don't miss them now. I'll
what you
that.
Were looking for right now, you got what you were looking for right now for all of those guys.
Anybody miss Robbie Snelling right now? Anybody? I love. I follow Homer Bush Jr.'s mother on Twitter. She's the sweetest, and she posts all his highlights. And I watch him play, and I go, ooh, yeah, man.
Mrs.
Good,
Bush.
Good player. Yes. Mrs. Bush.
Bush, 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 Bush. It's the whole family right there.
Yeah. The Bush fan?
The Bush fan.
It's a reunion.
And I watch him play, and he's tracking balls. He's hitting home runs. I'm like, oh, it's a good player, man. Maybe I'll miss him in 2028. You know, but now I don't today. No offense to him. I don't. I like what we've gotten back. They've all been phenomenal.
The biggest surprise, though, has to be Martin Perez, who did his job again effectively yesterday. We will talk about that and the crazy ending of the game in our Padres wrap-up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
It's It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah! Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
One pitch, hit on a line to the right side. Diving stop, Cronenworth on the grass. Throws from his knees in time. And a 1-2-3 third for Perez, thanks to his second baseman, Jacob Cronenworth. What a play. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Manny swings, sends it in the air to right center field. Yastrzemski drifting back into the gap. He'll reach up, make the catch. Plenty deep to get a rise home. Solano will also tag in advance, a sacrifice fly. And the Padres have the first run of the day. Here's the 0-1. Walton swings, sends it in the air to right center field. Long run there. Still going back. He is at the wall, and this one's going to go. Boy, the wind looked like it just grabbed it and took it over the fence in right center field. Donovan Walton with his first home run of the year, and a 1-1 game in the sixth. First pitch on the way. Tatis swings, sends it in the air to deep left field. Ramos is back. This one going to go. First career pinch hit home run, and Fernando puts the Padres in front 2-1. 3-2 in the air to right field and deep. Peralta is back. He will watch. It's going to go. Elliot Ramos into McCovey Cove. A game-tying homer to lead off the bottom of the ninth inning. It's 2-2. Here's the 3-1. Peralta swings. Hits it on the ground. Through the left side of the base hit. Cronenworth rounding third. On his way. Ramos' throw will go to second. RBI single David Peralta. And the Padres are back in front. It's 3-2. 0-1 the pitch. Solano swings. It's a ground ball to third. Chapman stops it on the short hop. Coming home. Throw is wide. Now the throw to first from Bailey in time to get Solano. But Peralta slides home safely. And the Padre lead is 4-2. 2-2 the pitch. Conforto swings. Hits it in the air to deep left field. Lockridge backing up. On the warning track, he will hop up and make the catch. Plenty deep for Yastrzemski to tag and score. Nice job by Lockridge. And two down here in the 10th inning. The Padre lead is 4-3. 0-1 pitch. Bailey swings. It's a ground ball to third base. Solano scoops it up. Throw across the diamond in time. And the ball game is over. Padres beat the Giants 4-3 in 10. They have come to San Francisco and swept the series.
It's got a hunger to win and compete. You know, when you're going to compete regardless of the situation, you're going to always be in ball games. You're not going to take anything for granted, not going to give anything away. You're going to take everything that you have an opportunity to do in competition. It's just a hungry group that loves to play baseball and loves to compete.
A little bit of everything yesterday, including some great defense from Jacob Cronenworth in a 4-3 win over the San Francisco Giants to complete the three-game sweep and win the season series 7-6. Another NL West foe vanquished this year. Now just one left, the Arizona Diamondbacks. And, of course, you've lost the season series to the Rockies.
Right.
So that's cool.
They're not in the picture, though. So it doesn't, we're not worried about the tiebreaker scenario with the Rockies.
Start it with Martin Perez. 5 innings, 2 hits, just the solo home run, the wind-aided solo home run.
It's beautiful, man.
But excellent work. I mean, when your fifth starter continues to go out, and you're not asking him to throw complete games.
Nope.
Just give us five plus, you know, a run or two. Seems to be vulnerable to a solo shot here or there. Great. Absolutely great. That's all you could possibly have wanted. And then some from Martin Perez since he's come over from the Pittsburgh Pirates.
So nice to be able to come in here on a Monday, man, and talk about a victory. And it seems like it's been so long since we've gotten to do that. And not only a victory on a Sunday, but a sweep. And, you know, we're going to talk about this at 7 o'clock, but I just kind of want to plant the seed in your head. Mike Schilt and the San Diego Padres, they're making big boy moves. They can smell it. You know what I'm saying? I think they can smell it more. It's more pungent than it's ever been in so many years here. They can absolutely smell.
It is all right there for
the
taking.
It's right there for the taking. All of the tropes, man. Blood in the water. Like, foot on the throats. All of it. They can smell it.
It's a good long tease because you're right. Well, we're all, as fans, just get in, worried about that. The Padres are quietly, without saying it, but through their actions, demonstrating that they're getting ready to try to win in the playoffs. And they did, I would say, 4 or 5 different things this weekend that are potential playoff previews of what we may see in October.
Well, and you were gone the 2 days, and we discussed the sending down of Luis Camposano.
That's
I mean,
one.
It's those are the things where, and again, long tease, we're talking about it in 13 minutes,
yeah.
But it's the big boy moves that they're making. It's certainly different than anything we're accustomed to covering, and I'm sure it's very different for the longtime Padre fans out there that go, this feels a little bit different. And not only the quality of play and the way that they're winning games, that's obviously different, and it has been, especially in the second half, but it's the front office stuff. It's the moves. It's the in-game decisions where...
It's even what's happening at AAA, if
yes.
You're watching very closely. A lot of interesting moves going on, and we will talk about it. But let's focus on this game a little bit. Luis Arraez, probably don't talk about him enough. You look in the box score every single day. I think it's three hits, one hit, three hits, two hits. Had two for four yesterday. The hitting streak is now, I believe, at 13 games. Scored that first run in the sixth inning on the Manny Machado sacrifice fly. Just continues to swing his best bat of the season.
I hated the bunt.
The Profar bunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you did.
It's three holes. So.
I know you did. But
I got the job done. So.
Got the run in, got the lead, which was then gone. See, if you play for the bigger inning, perhaps you have a bigger lead at that point. What would be the expression if you're a card player? You've got an ace in the hole.
Yeah.
Padres gave Fernando Tatis Jr. the day off. We're only going to use him in limited circumstances.
Or like, did they?
Like, we've got one or two spots we may pull you off the bench for a swing. Well, it literally was one swing. And it gave them a 2-1 lead. His first career pinch hit home run came in the eighth inning off Tyler Rogers, his 18th of the season. That was literally his day. You are off, except you're going to go up and swing the bat one time and hit a home run for us. That's the perfect day off for a Major League Baseball player.
It was beautiful. Just a beautiful, beautiful win. Yesterday, again, you get down your closer, you know, lets in the tying run. And of course, my dad texted me this. He goes, I know you've said this 1,000 times. He said, I'll say it one more time. You absolutely lose that game last year. And I said, there is no question, none in my mind that they lose that game. Like, the next pitch, probably. You know what I'm saying? Like, last year they lose that game. But I forgot how majestic it is to watch a Fernando Tatis Jr. home run in person. And I got a really good view of it on Friday night. And watching that ball sail out off Logan Webb was just the most beautiful, beautiful thing. Just beautiful.
God, he's had a hot week.
Hot week.
Two home runs in 2 days in Seattle.
Yep.
Had a couple more this weekend.
Just beautiful.
Looking great in right field.
Phenomenal.
Like, that's exactly what we were hoping for when we knew we were getting him back.
Benny just said, the ace in the hole. You know, and that's what he can absolutely be. He's the type of guy that when he's locked in. I mean, again, think about the table setter in front of him. Guys on base 3 to 4 times a game. Can't ask for anything else from your leadoff hitter than that. And setting it up for Tatis, Profar, and Machado, you know, just a beautiful thing.
And Mike Schilt did say after the game, he feels fine. There's no injury concerns. That's not why he had the day off there. Simply being cautious with his workload. Again, one of those forward-thinking moves that you weren't able to do last year as you were desperately scrambling to try to win every possible game. Not that they don't want to win every game now, but they're thinking ahead. They're thinking to October, trying to keep guys fresh. Get those legs fresh against teams that may not be quite as rested going into October. So you had the day off for Fernando. He makes the most of his pinch hitting appearance. The Elliot Ramos splashdown home run. That was the first ever. And I could have sworn Fernando did it once, but the first ever right-handed splashdown home run. Talk about Robert Suarez as the closer. I will point out, though, as you said, came right back and got the next three batters,
100%.
Which is big. I know you're going to focus on giving up the lead. It's fifth blown save of the year, and he has given up a lot of hard contact, some runs, traffic in pretty much every outing he's had the last month has been a bit of a rough one. We were so spoiled early in the season. It was strikeout, 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 and go home. It doesn't always work that way. But he did bounce back and got the next three batters, allowing them to go win that game, and that should be pointed out. And not only focus on the point that, yes, he gave up a home run. Again, those home runs, the walk-off grand slam, they're both opposite field. He's providing a lot of the power there. And
yep.
When you barrel up 100 miles an hour, Well, it's going to go a long way.
Yeah, I mean, it's again, for him, it's location. You know, command and location. Velo's still there. Velo's still nice. I think right now it's just a little bit flat for him, you know, and he's not being able to go up and in to guys. He was getting that high strike. You know, guys were just feasting on that early in the season. But those last two bombs, pitches on the outside part of the plate, throw the head at it, and he does the work. I will tell you this. We did the walk up there by McCovey Cove. That's a poke. It is a massive, massive poke. I grabbed Hannah. I go, come here for a second. I go, can you see home plate way over there? She goes, yeah. I go, guys hit it in this water. There's that guy in the kayak down there. The whole thing, I go, I can't hit a golf ball out of that. Like, from home plate, I don't think I could get a golf ball out of there. I mean, it is a poke and a half. So, you know what? Tip your cap to Elliot Ramos. That was a shot.
But then the winning rally was kind of more of the San Diego Padres style, with just good baseball, you know, going the other way with David Peralta getting runners over. Arraez comes up with the double, and then Solano, just the ground ball, getting balls in play, making the defense, you know, make decisions and mistakes if you can. Padres score the two, and then Adrian Morejon gets his second save of the season and his career.
Very nice work.
As the Padres hold on and win 4-3 over the San Francisco Giants yesterday.
Three runs for the pitching staff.
The whole weekend, yeah.
That's phenomenal, fantastic work. And I realize that the Giants don't exactly strike fear into you, but when you're coming down to this type of or this time of year, those guys want to beat you. They want to put you on the ropes. They are a division rival. They want to beat you. They have your former manager.
They did.
They beat you here, two out of three. They want to take you down. They want to ruin your chances, man. And they got some good young players, man. They do have some really good young players. But our guys went in and handled business, man. Three runs in three games. Offense came through when it needed to. I couldn't be more proud and happy for the fellas, man. They played their hearts out.
Now, I do feel like, given the fact that Robert Suarez was so good early in the season and still is throwing 100, on most teams, you really wouldn't even have the conversation about making a change at the back end of the bullpen. But this isn't most teams. You have experienced wipeout relief pitchers in Tanner Scott, who's closed games, in Jason Adam, who has closed games before, even Estrada, and even now Morejon, guys who can pitch in the ninth inning. Do we need to have a bit of a discussion?
Let's have the discussion.
About at least how the Padres could best set themselves up at the back end of the bullpen going into October. We will do that coming up next. We'll play a little Take on Woods as well. Chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas when we return. Don't go anywhere. First hour went fast. I think the second hour will as well, with Ben and Woods on a Monday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.